Manny swings, sends it in the air to left field. Nimmo's backing up. He is watching. It's going to go! A grand slam for Manny Machado. Home run number 26 is a big one in the Big Apple. And the Pods go back ahead at 6-2.
Manny Machado's 14th career Grand Slam carries the Padres to a 7-4 win in New York City on this Wednesday night as the Padres even up this three-game series against the New York Mets at a game apiece. Welcome into our Hamul Casino Resort Padres post-game show here on the Padres Radio Network as the Padres win it 7-4. What a ball game this was in Queens tonight. We have a lot to do. We'll go back to Citi Field in New York here from Padres manager Mike Schilt. Will also have all the radio highlights for you. Full game recap. Sam Levitt with you inside our San Diego studios. Hey, player, the all-new Hamul Casino Resort is now open with a luxe hotel tower, rooftop pool, spa, and a long list of amazing amenities. You'll have more ways to play and enjoy all the perks of your casino fun. Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Let's begin the conversation tonight by looking at a couple of guys that just did tremendous work tonight. It starts with Manny Machado, with David Peterson on the ropes in the fifth inning. At that point, the Padres in a tie game, 2-2. Manny comes up, gets ahead in the count, hits a grand slam to put the Padres up 6-2 in the top of the fifth inning. As we said, 14th career grand slam for Manny Machado. It was a spot where they had Peterson on the ropes. Manny got ahead and he made him pay. Big, big swing for Manny Machado. And then the Padres bullpen, after Nick Pivetta was pulled after just 4 2/3 innings, 84 pitches, the Padres bullpen made it stand up. Ramon Laureano, yes, gives them some insurance later in the game. But to me, you look at this bullpen tonight, Morejon, inning at a third scoreless, he was great. Mason Miller, my goodness. Couple of notes on his outing. You'll look at it in the box score. It'll be 5 up, 5 down. He continues to be simply stellar as a San Diego Padre, including coming in that seventh inning with the tying runs at the plate. And Soto and Alonso strikes them both out to end that seventh inning and keep the Padres ahead 6-4. Of course, Juan Soto, the first guy that Miller faced, he missed a home run off the foul pole, the left field foul pole at Citi Field by about an inch as he hit one, just a looping fly ball down the left field line. So it could have been a very, very different story, an outing and potential outcome tonight had Soto somehow kept that fair. He missed it by literally what looked like an inch. I mean, it was so close they had to go review it with a crew chief a replay review, and it indeed did miss the foul pole. So it could have been a very different story. But after that, you got to give Mason Miller so much credit. Strikes out Soto, strikes out Alonso. 1-2-3 inning in the eighth inning. Ramon Laureano ends up providing what is big insurance in the top of the ninth inning with the home run. And then Robert Suarez, 2 on, 2 out. Soto, representing the tying run at the plate, gets one hit back at him at 101 miles per hour off the bat, makes the play, and the game is over. And the Padres get a really, really nice win in New York. Manny had the big swing, and the bullpen, were they perfect tonight? No. But the Padres bullpen, and this is going to be such an enormous key for this team in the postseason, the Padres bullpen was handed a lead. They had a close game, and they got it done. One way or another, they got it done. They got big outs and big swings and misses when they absolutely had to have him in this game. Excellent work by Miller. Really good work by Robert Suarez. Jeremiah Estrada continues to struggle a little bit. We'll talk more about that later. But bottom line is the bullpen was handed a lead here tonight. They get it done, and the Padres win it 7-4. And now they have an opportunity to win this series tomorrow in New York with the first pitch in the morning tomorrow. And oh, by the way, with the Diamondbacks losing today, the Padres now have a magic number of 4. Their magic number to clinch a postseason berth is down to 4. Of course, the Phillies and the Dodgers are playing right now in L.A. We'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard in a little bit. But if the Dodgers were to lose tonight, Padres would find themselves just one game out of first place in the National League West. As we know, they don't hold the tiebreaker, so they got to finish ahead of the Dodgers. But they have the potential tonight, depending on what happens in L.A., to pick up a game on the Dodgers. And again, that magic number to at least clinch a wild card spot is now down to four with the Padres winning and the Diamondbacks losing today. Really, really good win for the Padres. 7-4 over the Mets. We'll come back. All the radio highlights for you. We'll hear from Mike Schilt coming up a little bit later as well as the Padres win it to even up this series at a game apiece. Rubber match of this series tomorrow. We'll continue our postgame coverage after this. Final score here tonight, Padres 7 and the Mets 4 as the Padres even up this three-game series at a game apiece. We'll go back to Citi Field in Queens and hear from Mike Schilt coming up in just a little bit. I thought this was a really good, especially early, very back-and-forth ball game. A lot of different, very tense moments in this game. Really good ball game here tonight between the Padres and the Mets. Let's recap it all.
Which moments determine the outcome of today's game? We'll paint you a picture with our game highlights on the Padres Radio Network.
Left-hander David Peterson took the mound for the Mets in the top of the first inning. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a leadoff single. Luis Arraez walked. Tatis would score on a sac fly from Gavin Sheets later in the inning. The Padres had a 1-0 lead. Nick Pivetta took the mound for the Padres in the bottom half of the inning. He got the first two outs, but then it was Pete Alonso.
And Alonso in the air to deep left center field. Oh my goodness, he's done it again. Three straight games with a home run for Pete Alonso. That's his 36th of the year, and this one ties it up 1-1.
But the Padres had an answer in the top of the second against Peterson. Jackson Merrill hit a leadoff single. Later in the inning, he was on second base for Jake Cronenworth.
And Jake lines one softly into center field. Another jam shot. It'll get down to the base hit. Jackson's throw will go to second. Great read by Merrill. And an RBI single from Cronenworth to put the Pods back ahead. It's 2-1.
Yeah, really happy Jesse brought that up. Great read by Jackson Merrill on that, who was off and running. He scored easily. Padres had a 2-1 lead. The score stayed 2-1 until the bottom of the fourth inning. Pivetta on the mound for San Diego. Starling Marte at the plate for New York.
As this one's hit in the air, high and deep to left field, Lamont. Laureano back to watch a home run for Starling Marte. And a 2-2 game here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Ninth of the year for the veteran designated hitter.
So two home runs given up by Pivetta. We were tied at two going to the top of the fifth inning. The Padres loaded the bases against Peterson. They didn't do a whole lot. Peterson hit a batter, issued a walk, a bunt single from Luis Arraez. Manny Machado dug in. The count went to 3-2.
Peterson delivers. Manny swings, sends it in the air to left field. Nimmo's backing up. He is watching. It's going to go! A grand slam for Manny Machado! Home run number 26 is a big one in the Big Apple. And the Pods go back ahead. It's 6-2.
14th career grand slam for Mr. Manny Machado. Machado leads all active major league players in career grand slams. In fact, now he has three more than anybody else. What a big swing. The Padres had a 6-2 lead in the fifth inning. Pivetta then gave up a solo home run to Juan Soto in the bottom of the fifth. That cut the Padres' lead to 6-3. Pivetta would go only 4 2/3 innings in this game, throw 84 pitches. Adrian Morejon finished the fifth inning and kept the Padres ahead 6-3. Then it was a weird top of the sixth inning, and this is something we didn't mention in the opening segment that almost came back to burn the Padres tonight. Dom Hamill on the mound for New York. The Padres had runners on first and second with two outs. That's when Luis Arraez lined a base hit into right. Elias Diaz was the runner from second base. As he came around towards home, Arraez was thrown out at second trying to stretch the hit into a double. The problem was that Diaz slowed down as he was coming towards home plate. He still hadn't crossed home before Arraez was thrown out at second. Mistake on Diaz's part. The run did not count, and the inning was over. It was still 6-3 on what should have been a hit that scored a run, whether Arraez got thrown out or not. But it was a mistake, a base running error. It was still only a 6-3 game. Run at home did not count, and taking a look at all the replays, it was the correct call. Diaz did not touch home before Arraez was tagged out. Morejon then pitched the scoreless bottom of the sixth inning. Padres still led 6-3 as Jeremiah Estrada took the mound for the bottom of the seventh inning. Francisco Alvarez greeted Estrada with a solo home run to right center. It was was initially ruled a double off the top of the fence and bounced back into play, but after a review, the replay room said that the ball struck something, it was hard to see, beyond the playing field after hitting the top of the fence, so it was a home run, and it was a 6-4 game. Estrada then issued a walk and got an out. Mike Schilt then went to Mason Miller to face Juan Soto. Soto missed a home run off the left field foul pole by literally, and I'm not kidding here, like an inch. I mean, it was that close, but it was foul. Went to the left of the pole. Miller then struck out Soto and struck out Pete Alonso to end the inning. So it was nearly a tie game, but Miller struck out two to keep the Padres up by two. Padres still led 6-4 going to the bottom of the eighth inning. Miller stayed on. He recorded a 1-2-3 inning. Top of the ninth inning. Padres looking for insurance against Mets righty Ryan Stanek. Ramon Laureano provided exactly that.
1-1, Laureano steps into it, hits it in the air, deep down the left field line, and gone, a home run! Ramon Laureano with a little breathing room in the top of the ninth inning. His ninth home run as a Padre, his 24th of the year, and it is now 7-4.
A big swing for Ramon Laureano. That also tied a career high in home runs for Laureano. So, Padres had a 7-4 lead going to the bottom of the ninth inning. It was time for Robert Suarez. Brett Beatty hit a leadoff single. Suarez then got the next two outs, but then he walked Francisco Lindor. So, two on, two out. That brought Juan Soto to the plate, representing the tying run.
Here's the 2-2 pitch. Soto swings, lines it right back to Suarez. He knocks it down, picks it up, throws to first in time, and the ball game is over. Robert Suarez, an eventful but effective ninth inning, picks up his 39th save of the year to move into a tie for the Major League lead, and the Padres, behind a Manny Machado grand slam, beat the Mets tonight 7-4 and set up a rubber game here tomorrow afternoon.
That's a great job by Jesse. That's how I would describe the night for the Padres bullpen. Eventful, but effective. And they get it done. Padres win it 7-4, 7 runs on 12 hits. No errors for San Diego. 4 runs, 9 hits, no errors for New York. Padres improved 83-69. The Mets dropped to 78-74. Adrian Morahone, the winning pitcher here tonight. I'll have a note on that in a second. He improves to 12-5. David Peterson, the losing pitcher, he drops to 9-6. And the save goes to Robert Suarez. He got it done, picking up his 39th save of the season here tonight. By the way, Morahone, his 12th win tonight, now has the most wins by a Padre reliever in single season Padres history, breaking the tie with Raleigh Fingers, who had 11 wins in 1980, and Butch Metzger, who had 11 wins in 1976. So Adrian Morahone, with that win tonight, now the most wins by a Padre reliever in a single season in franchise history. So that is certainly a very cool note here tonight as well. When we come back, we'll hear from Padres manager Mike Schilt. Again, the final here tonight, Padres 7 and the Mets 4. Our postgame coverage continues after this on the Padres Radio Network. Final score, Padres 7 and the Mets 4. It is almost the 21st night of September. I got to make sure we play that in a few days. What day is the 21st? So today is the 17th. It's Wednesday, so that means Sunday? Sunday the 21st. Okay, there we go. We got to make sure we listen to that on the 21st. Anyway, final score, Padres 7 and the Mets 4 as the Padres even up this three-game series at a game apiece. It was an entertaining ball game in New York tonight. Manny Machado, a grand slam in the fifth inning, made it a 6-2 game. The Padres hang on, bullpen, great job, and they win it 7-4. Nick Pivetta, short night for him, 4 2/3 innings, 84 pitches. Mike Schilt, aggressive with his bullpen, went to Adrian Morahone in the fifth inning. Morahone was great, inning and a third scoreless. Mason Miller, just terrific. He stranded the tying run at the plate in the seventh inning, a 1-2-3 eighth inning. Robert Suarez stranding the tying run at the plate in the ninth inning as well. It was, as Jesse said, what did he say in the final call? It was entertaining but effective. That was the night for the Padres bullpen. They get it done, and they'll go for a series win in New York tomorrow. Again, the Padres' magic number now to clinch a postseason berth is down to 4. As far as a wild card spot. Of course, we are keeping a very close eye on the Phillies and Dodgers game in LA. They're in the third inning there. Dodgers do have an early 2-0 lead. So if that score holds, if the Dodgers do win, Padres would stay 2 out of first place in the NL West. If the Phillies come back to win, and they did that last night, then Padres would pick up a game and be a game out by the end of tonight. But again, they're only in the third there. Dodgers an early 2-0 lead. Let's go back to Citi Field in New York and hear from the Padres skipper.
Let's pull up a seat in the manager's office and hear from Padres manager Mike Schilt, served up by Sin Lee Food, where fresh meets flavor. Find farm fresh produce, bold Asian spices, and gourmet ingredients at 4665 El Cajon Boulevard. Sin Lee Food, the cook's Asian resource.
Mike, you ended up getting a couple blasts, but the early execution for you guys to get those first couple of runs, I know that pleased you.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this a lot. We love the homers, you know. Small things lead to big things, and a lot of good quality at bats. Luis butt knocked to get Manny up there, and, you know, Manny put a swing on him for a big number. My understanding is the current leader in Grand Slams in Major League Baseball, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, a lot of good situational at bats. Just a really well played game in all phases. Honestly, both sides of the ball, both clubs. But yeah, it was a really, really well played baseball game on our part.
So, what did you see from Nick tonight?
Thought Nick was really good. You know, I mean, the mistakes we made, we'll eliminate them at some point, but seemed to get out of the ballpark. You know, and they say, whoever they is, solo homers won't beat you. That was on display tonight. You just don't want to give up four of them. But, yeah, you know, I thought Nick was good and, you know, competed as always and gave us more than a chance. And, you know, it just came a situation where, you know, dictated for Adrian to come in. It was fantastic to nail down the fifth and grab the sixth. And can't say enough about what Miller did as well to come in and, you know, finish the seventh and grab the eighth and take it down, and Suarez did his part to bring it home. But pitching was outstanding. A few mistakes they put some swings on, but, you know, Nicky set the tone for us and did a great job and pitched well with the lead.
I know you haven't seen all 14 of the Grand Slams that he's hit, but Manny was in those spots. Like, what is it that allows him to see them lock in?
Yeah, you know, the one thing about Manny, of many that I appreciate, is just his calmness. You know, I talk about this, whether it be moments like that, whether it be like there in the ninth with Suarez, talked about it with David Morgan earlier in the year when he noticed it, you know, as a huge attribute, just not making the moment bigger than it is. You know, a lot of guys, hey, base loaded, and I'm there, get and try to do too much, and Manny just knows who's in charge at that point, you know, and it's the hitter, and he just knows I'm going to take a good at bat. He's put a nice sweet stroke on it.
What did you see on the play where Diaz got to home plate a little bit late and you took the run off?
Yeah,
the
I mean, you know, it's I was, you know, we're glad it didn't turn out to be a pivotal run. Took it for granted, you know, and great at bat, you know, unfortunately got hit, and then Toddy took a great at bat, and then, you know, it's the ball down the line and kind of just, you know, took it for granted a little bit. But it's a good opportunity to continue to remind ourselves that until you touch home plate, you haven't scored four plays over.
Are these games, I know all year long you've been aggressively, but are these starting to feel a little bit closer to like what the postseason is going to feel like?
Yeah, no question about it. And I was, you know, felt like a playoff game. And yes, I have and will continue to manage aggressively. To your point tonight, especially sitting there and you're going, okay, you know, let Nicky go finish it and try to get him a win. Well, right now it's about team wins. And so, and again, the bullpen was rested to do it, which is what you would expect to have happen, you know, as you get into October setting where, you know, you have some days off. So the opportunity today was there. You know, we had a day off 2 days ago. The guys that pitched in the game today didn't even get up yesterday. And so it was an opportunity. So, no, we had some fresh guys and had the lanes, and yeah, we went for it, and they did their part.
That was Padres manager Mike Schilt following this 7-4 win for the Padres against the Mets. Sam Levitt with you inside our San Diego studios as we continue our postgame coverage here on the Padres Radio Network. Let's chew on a couple of things that Mike Schilt talked about there. No doubt about it, Mike managed this very aggressively here tonight, and there were a couple of spots where that was on full display. In the fifth inning, Pivetta gives up his third home run, and look, that was, to Mike's point, a big part in this game. The Mets had three home runs. The Padres had two. The difference was one of the Padres' home runs was a grand slam, and the Mets hit three solo home runs against Nick Pivetta. So it was sort of a classic case of solo home runs you can deal with on a lot of nights, and that's the way it was for Pivetta. But keep in mind where this game was. In the bottom of the fifth inning, Padres leading 6-3. There was a runner on first base, two outs, the left-handed hitting Nimmo coming up. And the Padres' best starting pitcher this season, no doubt about it, Nick Pivetta on the mound. He's only at 84 pitches. And if you want to understand how Mike Schilt managed this game, I mean, he goes and he gets Adrian Morejone in the fifth inning there, up by three, to go lefty on lefty with Nimmo instead of letting Pivetta go out there and finish the fifth inning, which, by the way, he's only at 84 pitches. He certainly could have done. But also, it puts Pivetta, if he can just get through that fifth inning, get Nimmo there, get out of the inning with a lead, in line for a win. So that was very, very aggressive. I was admittedly a little surprised when he went to Morejone because you're thinking, hey, Pivetta's, yeah, he's given up the three home runs, but he's, you have a lot of trust in Nick to be able to go get a righty out, a lefty out. Doesn't really matter with him this season, but they got very aggressive and went to Morejone. And I think it speaks volumes to how they're treating these games right now. And I'm with Mike. This, to me, this very much felt like a playoff game tonight, the way it felt. The way it was managed, how tense it was late in a couple of different situations. Another moment where it was very much managed like a playoff game tonight was in the seventh inning. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about Estrada in our next segment. It's been shakier for him as of late. He gives up the home run to Alvarez. Then he walks Mullins. Then he gets a pop out from Lindor. So at that point, it's a 6-4 game. Bottom of the seventh inning, and you've got Soto and Alonso coming up with one out. And at that point, and I totally agreed with Mike here, you cannot, and this is the way it's going to be managed in the postseason. You cannot, in that spot, with Soto, and it's not a knock on Estrada. It really isn't, even though he's struggled a bit more as of late. But with how good Mason Miller has been, you cannot have Soto and Alonso coming up in that spot and not bring Mason Miller in the game. I mean, that is why you go get a Mason Miller, quite frankly. I mean, when it rolls into the postseason in October, guess who's getting that ball in that spot? It's Mason Miller. He has got to face those guys. He just has to. So he comes in. Obviously, Soto almost hits a home run, like an inch or two to the left of the foul pole. But okay, not a home run. Those are the rules. Didn't hit the pole. It's got to hit the pole, not get close to the pole. Not get within, you know, where the pole, whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But getting very close to the pole is not a home run. The point is he comes in, strikes out Soto, strikes out Alonso, gets out of the inning. But that was aggressive. You know, if this is a month ago, hey, might be a spot where you try to get Estrada through that seventh inning. You're trying to protect your bullpen a little bit. And then Miller, an up, down, 1-2-3, eighth inning. The other thing I want to point out about this game, and hopefully a positive sign for the Padres. They hit how many home runs last night? Two of them last night, the solo shots by Merrill and Cronenworth. If you go and you look at the home runs as of late for the Padres, number one, they've hit a home run now in seven straight games. They've hit 13 in a seven-game span. Now, four of those came against the Rockies. Okay, they give up a lot of home runs. They're not very good, to say the least. I'll say that little caveat. But I do think you hope that this power surge is happening at the right time. I mean, 13 home runs in a seven-game span. That has not been the Padres' offense this season from a power standpoint. So you hope that's a sign of things to come. Certainly the home run ball played a huge factor in tonight's game. Absolutely no doubt about it, with Machado's grand slam, and the Padres pick up a very nice 7-4 win to even up this series at a game apiece. Let's step aside. When we come back, we'll get into our daily awards. If you want to squeeze a phone call in, 833-288-0973. Phone number to call, 833-288-0973. Phone number to call if you want to get involved. Final score, Padres 7 and the Mets 4 on the Padres Radio Network. Let's tell you about tonight's relief pitcher of the game.
Which pitcher entered the game and slammed the door shut? This is today's relief pitcher of the game, presented by David P. Shapiro Criminal Defense Attorneys. When your freedom and future are on the line, you need the best arm in the pen. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com.
Here's the pitch. And Alonso swings and misses, strike three. Back with the slider to get him. And Mason Miller comes out of the bullpen to get Soto and Alonso and send us to the eighth.
Come on, you knew it was going to be Mason Miller tonight. What a job by Miller. Five up, five down between the seventh and the eighth. Yes, Juan Soto came oh so close to hitting an opposite field home run against them that just missed the foul pole to the left side of the pole. But, hey, Miller came back. He struck out Soto. He struck out Alonso to strand the tying run at the plate in the seventh inning. A 1-2-3 eighth inning, five up, five down. And you cannot say enough about how good Mason Miller has been for this team since the trade from the A's at the deadline. Here are the numbers with the Padres so far. I mean, it's ridiculous. 0.93 ERA in 18 appearances. 17 of the 18 have been scoreless. 19 innings and a third. He has struck out 36 batters in those 19 innings and a third. So it has been tremendous from Mason Miller. He has been everything you could have hoped he would be since the trade. And, you know, look, I keep thinking about it from a postseason perspective. To me, it's going to be fascinating to see how they use Mason Miller in the postseason. In this sense, I almost feel like with Mason Miller, you are going to have to use him in when you feel like the biggest spot of the game is happening. So it'll be fascinating. It really, really will be. Because sometimes in a playoff game, you may feel like the game could be hanging in the balance earlier than when you would typically use him. I mean, yeah, he's a seventh, eighth inning guy. Tonight it was the seventh. Sometimes it's the eighth inning, whatever it might be. But what's to say that you don't have a situation where, you know, let's say you have a lead in the sixth inning or the seventh inning, and maybe it is a tad earlier. Maybe you're going a little bit out of order, right? But, man, he has been so good that you almost feel like he has to be the guy when you're in a big-time spot against righties, against lefties, doesn't matter. Now, Morejon has been unbelievable as well. Suarez, obviously, has been very, very, very good all year. Got the job done tonight. But yeah, I'm really wowed by Miller. I really am. His control, for the most part, is terrific. What makes him so good, yes, the velo is incredibly impressive. But his slider, the movement and command on it, the fact that he can throw that pitch at any time for a strike, and it's as nasty as it is, I mean, it is really something to watch. He's been so good. And he was great here tonight. Absolutely great. Five up, five down. Got the job done. He's tonight's relief pitcher of the game. There was a big play by Manny Machado in the ninth inning of this game. Let's hear it.
Which defensive play had the biggest impact on today's game?
He is at the wall, leaps up, and he makes the catch.
This is the catch of the game.
Gonna hang a star for Jackson Merrill.
Reeled in by Anthony's Fish Grotto La Mesa, celebrating 80 years of seafood excellence.
Suarez set. Here's the pitch. Viento swings, grounds it slowly to third base. Manny charges it, has it, gets rid of it quickly, and in time at first base. And one of those plays that Manny made look way easier than it actually was.
Yeah, it was a really good play by Manny, and it's not going to jump off the TV screen. You know, if you were there in person, it's not going to jump out to you. But that was a really good play by Manny in a spot where he has to get that out for the second out of the inning. And he did it charging in. Of course, Manny is as good as anybody at throwing from all different angles from third base. Got the out of Vientos. Vientos not a great runner, but you know what? If Manny wastes a little bit of time there, he wastes a half second. Guess what? Vientos probably beats it out. And that's a huge play in the ninth inning when you're in that kind of spot. And with the top of the Mets lineup looming, you've got to make that play for Manny Machado. So it wasn't flashy, but it did get a big second out in the ninth inning. And for that reason, it was tonight's catch of the game. Let's talk about the Padres, heart of the order.
Let's take the pulse of the Padres and check in on the heart of the order, presented by Palomar Health, the official healthcare provider of 97.3 The Fan. Palomar Health, leading with heart for every patient. Palomar Health is reimagining healthcare.
Yeah, really good night for the heart of the order, especially two guys. Manny Machado, huge night. Three hits, the home run, the grand slam in this game. 14th career grand slam for Manny. No doubt the biggest swing of the night for anybody. Gavin Sheets went over four. Ramon Laureano had two hits, including a home run of his own. Insurance run in that top of the ninth inning. So, all in all, five hits for the heart of the order, including home runs, five RBIs. Nicely done. Manny Laureano leading the way for the Padres, heart of the order here tonight. Phone number 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Phone number to call. Let's lead things off tonight. We go to as loyal a Padres pre and post game listener, viewer as there is out there. That is Rod calling in. Hi, Rod.
Yo, Sammy. Appreciate the kind words, brother. Let me get my quick shout outs out of the way. Shout out to the YouTube chat fan. Much love to all the levitators and 97.3 overall, the fan. Man, greatly appreciate the coverage on our wonderful hometown team that's going to bring this chip. And that's what I called about, Sammy.
Okay.
I really need for all the Friar faithful to keep the faith. I mean, one loss, a W. Come on, everybody. You got to realize how good this feeling is. We're going to take it all the way into October. That should feel good to everybody. And please recognize where you're at right now and where you're going to be come October. Let's go, Sammy.
Yeah, Rod, appreciate the phone call. Appreciate your positivity. Look, Padres got a long way to go. There's a lot of baseball left to play. There are a lot of wins they have to get between now and late October. Do I think they're talented enough? Yes. Do I think they can do it? Yes. But, you know, it is going to require some very, very good baseball, some big, big swings like they got tonight from Manny, some big timeouts from their bullpen like they got tonight. They're going to have to win games like they won tonight in New York. This was a playoff type of field tonight. Rod, are they capable? Absolutely. There's a long road ahead and hopefully a very fun and successful road ahead for the Padres. Let's go to Charles calling in. Hi, Charles. You're on the Padres Radio Network.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. It's always good to hear from you or to speak with you.
Mm-hmm.
So what a good win tonight. And I just wanted to, is there any reason for us to be concerned about Shauna's recent struggles for a while? It's been a while now, ever since the Dodgers game, he seems to have been struggling. Would it have anything to do with the fact that, you know, we're missing Adam now, so it's putting more pressure on him?
Mm. Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's a pressure thing per se, and Charles, appreciate the phone call. It's a good question. It was on my to-do list, as I said earlier, to get to tonight. Let me just pull up some numbers here so I can give you proper numbers. Really in the last month for Jeremiah, and there have been some really big innings against him in that span. Let me pull this up here before I really dive in. If you go back to August 15th, and that was now August 15th. That was an outing in LA. Now he's had some tough outings since then. I mean, he's had two outings since August 15th where he's given up four runs. The overall numbers though are these, just to make it simple. 8.10 ERA, 15 appearances, 13 innings and a third, 12 earned runs given up. And that includes tonight giving up the Alvarez home run. And then he walked the next batter, which, you know, brought the tying run to the plate with the top of the Mets lineup coming up. There's no doubt about it. Jeremiah has not been as sharp as he was earlier in the season. Now, why that is, I don't know exactly. He hasn't been as good. And is it getting late in the season, and he's been used a lot, could be part of it. I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you, Charles, as to why it's been rougher for Jeremiah. Certainly he hasn't expressed, you know, having any fatigue or dealing with anything, but he has certainly not been as sharp when you look back at the past month. We know he has major trouble with the Dodgers. We understand that, but it's been even beyond that. Look, I think beyond the reason it's been tougher for Estrada, reality is the Padres could sure use him to really find that dominant form again by the time the postseason rolls around, because right now you're looking at a situation, and this bullpen is still really, really good with the way they're pitching right now. And you've got three guys that have done really, really well in Miller, Morahone, and Suarez. But if you don't, if Estrada is not delivering the way he was earlier in the year and the way he did last season, if these struggles continue, then pretty swiftly you've gone from having a big five to really a big three in that bullpen, where you can really, really trust him in the highest leverage situations, right? Losing Adam, and if Estrada is not going to be as effective. Now, I believe in Jeremiah. He's certainly got terrific stuff. I believe he can get there again. I don't know why it's been so much tougher. Is it just a reality of him being used a lot? It could be. It could be. But there's no doubt him getting back to that form is going to be really, really important, because it lengthens this bullpen. I mean, this was a bullpen built to be, you know, a five guys that could shorten a game. Well, guess what? If you can't really include Jeremiah in that highest leverage group because of performance, well, guess what? It really decreases your ability to shorten the game like the Padres planned to do when all these guys were healthy and throwing really well. So it's been tougher. There's no doubt about it. Gave up the home run against Colorado over the weekend, gave up the home run tonight, had a tough outing in Colorado, had the really tough outing against the Dodgers at home, had the tough outing in L.A. We know he's had troubles against the Dodgers, but there's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, it has not been as sharp for Jeremiah, and the Padres could sure use him to get back on track. And why he hasn't been as sharp, I don't know. That I don't have a great answer for you. All right, let's step aside. We'll squeeze in more of your phone calls, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll hit the out-of-town scoreboard, play of the game, wrap things up, get you ready for tomorrow. Much more to come on our post-game coverage on the Padres Radio Network. Padres beat the Mets 7-4 to even up this three-game series at a game apiece. The rubber match of this series coming up tomorrow morning in New York. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Full look at the out-of-town scoreboard, our play of the game, and we'll preview tomorrow's final game of the series against the Mets. Let's squeeze in a couple more phone calls at 833-288-0973. Your two-way radio talk telephone line on our post-game coverage. That's one way to put it. Aubrey calling in. Hi, Aubrey. You're on the Padres Radio Network tonight with Sam Levitt. Go ahead.
Hey, Sammy. Thank you for taking my phone call. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. I wanted to revisit the thing with Diaz not scoring. It mm-hmm. seems like between the announcers and what I've heard post-game, it seems like a lot of people are blaming Diaz. I don't. He did what all these guys do. They round third. They're going to make it in easily. They go from a run to a trot. Mm-hmm. Luis Arraez is not a quick dude. That was a single. He tried to stretch into a double, mm-hmm. and that was not the right call. He was out by 10 feet, 12 feet. It wasn't even close. And he took the bat out of Manny Machado's hands, a guy that just hit a grand slam. Arraez needs to stay at first. Tatis is at third. Let Manny do some more damage. Give him a chance. They're probably going to walk him with an open base. And then you got Sheets with bases loaded. I love that. I love that. Anyways, I don't blame Diaz.
Yeah. Yeah, Aubrey, and appreciate the phone call. Look, I think there's a piece of blame pie for both guys. Okay. Now, did I love Arraez trying to take second? No. No, he got thrown out by a lot. However, Luis is probably thinking there that Diaz is scoring with no problem. So if I'm splitting up the blame pie, I definitely put more on Diaz than I do Arise, to be honest with you. I don't call Arise blameless, but the reality is this: where that ball was hit with two outs, it doesn't matter who's running. Diaz has got to score there. I mean, he has got to score there, regardless of if Luis Arise is trying to stretch a single into a double. He has got to score there. I'll tell you what as well. You know, Manny Machado, Manny had a big night. I'm not trying to, I put a tiny little blame of the blame pie. There's a little sliver for Manny too, because it looked like Manny was telling Diaz to kind of slow up and come in standing, and Diaz, you know, went into just a real, you know, casual stroll. Not stroll, he wasn't walking, but you get what I mean. He really slowed up, and he's got to look, it's a teaching moment. Thankfully, it didn't cost the Padres tonight, but if I make the blame pie, I think Diaz gets majority. I give Arise a little piece. I give Manny just a little sliver, because it looked like he was, you know, telling him to slow down a little bit as he came around third base. So, look, Aubrey, I totally understand what you're saying. It was aggressive by Luis, and if Luis never attempts to get to second base, it doesn't matter. Diaz scored. It doesn't matter. He could have walked into home plate. It wouldn't have mattered. I get that, but a lot of that is on Diaz. You have to score there. You have to run through the play, and hopefully it's a learning moment, even for the major leaguers, a learning moment that you haven't scored until you touch home. And you've got to be sure that you can get home. So I get it, Aubrey. I do. I understand what you're saying, but I still think Diaz takes most of the blame pie there. Give Arise a little. Give Manny just like a 1% sliver. Sorry to be tough on Manny, but it did look like he was telling him to slow down. Let's finish up on the phones tonight. Brandon in Carlsbad. Hi, Brandon.
Sammy Lev, what it is? Check this out real quick, Sam. I call in a lot to Braden because that's the time of day usually I can. But I do like to give you a chat and just give you a shout-out and some love. I do love the show when I can catch it post-game. Here's my point. As a lot of fans that listen and or watch and are big Padre fans and like to analyze, and yet we will still make the postseason, and yet that's the only chance that we need. I know there's so many players we can nitpick and they need specific tune-ups, but this is all we've asked. I'm born and raised here, third generation. I've watched almost all the way back and all the way to the great Tony Gwynn. And all we ever wanted was a chance to the big dance. Now, I know it's our job and it's your job to analyze and point things out, but hey, man, every time we make it to the postseason, it's a chance to get to the big dance. So I agree. A lot of these guys, our bullpen, there's a lot of tune-ups. I know there's been a lot of the lineup type stuff. Why aren't they changing the lineup? If we were that good, we'd have their jobs. But we're going to the postseason. I know it. You know it. I know we need some tune-ups. Let's just have some faith in that. All right, Friar Faithful. God bless. I'm out.
Okay, Branson. Appreciate the phone call. Look, Brandon, I think two things can be true at once. You can admit that this has been a very, very good age of Padres baseball when you look at Padres history. The fact that, assuming they make the postseason this year, which they absolutely should at this point, whether it's wild card or division, that it is going to be, let me just make sure in my head I'm right here, 2020, 2022, 2024, 20. So it'll be 4 out of 6 years they've made the postseason, including the shortened season in 2020. 4 out of 6 years they've made the postseason. It would be back-to-back, hopefully back-to-back 90-plus win seasons. The Padres have a great chance to get there, winning their 83rd game here tonight. They still have work to do, obviously, to get to 90 wins, but they have an excellent chance to make the postseason, beyond excellent. I mean, it would be kind of catastrophic if they didn't at this point somehow, some way. They'd have to play really, really poorly in order for that to happen. But they've also got a chance to get to 90 wins, which would give them back-to-back 90-plus win seasons, would give them back-to-back postseason appearances. And I think two things can be true at once. You can acknowledge that you're in a really, really good, fun, and relatively successful era of Padres baseball, but also have very high expectations for the team and understand that the goal is to win the World Series. And this is a team that has a roster and the type of players that are capable of winning a World Series. but you have to play well, and winning a World Series comes down to the every aspect of the team that we talk about every single day, not just on my programs, but on this radio station. So I think two things can be true at once. You can acknowledge the era you're in and the success they've had and how good it is relative to Padres history, but you can also have very high expectations of the team and, you know, understand that there is a big gap between just getting into the postseason and winning a World Series. That's a big, big gap. And when I say big gap, I'm not saying that the Padres have that gap. Just for every team that makes the postseason, there is a long road from making it, from winning however many games you win in the regular season, to actually taking home the trophy at the end of October. So I think you can have both thoughts. Be appreciative, be grateful of the era you're in, but also have really high expectations. And sometimes high expectations come with being critical. Sometimes high expectations come with being very, very pointed in how you look at a team and analyzing where you have good things and where you need improvement. And I think both those things can be true at once. And I think that is the beauty of being a sports fan in general. Let's take a full look at the Out of Town scoreboard, tell you what's going on this Wednesday.
Let's take a trip around the bigs to highlight the scores that matter most with our Out of Town scoreboard, presented by Jensen Premium Beef Patties, always a hit for grilling.
Well, we have two games going on right now. Let's begin with the one that matters most to the Pods, and that is the Dodgers are beating the Phillies right now, 3-0 in L.A. Sixth inning right now in L.A. Blake Snell at the moment, 5 1/3 scoreless innings. Again, if the Dodgers do win, then the Dodgers will stay two games ahead of the Padres. If the Phillies come back, win that game, Padres would pick up a game and be a game back of the NL West lead at the end of tonight. Marlins beating the Rockies 5-3 in Colorado in the seventh inning. Everything else has gone final. Cubs beat the Pirates 8-4 in Pittsburgh. Ian Happ, his 23rd home run of the season in that game. Cubs clinching a postseason berth for the first time since 2020. Reds beat the Cardinals 6-2 in St. Louis. Orioles beat the White Sox 3-1 in Chicago. Giants, this was a crazy game, beat the Diamondbacks 5-1 in 11 in Arizona. Brandon Fought for Arizona went 9 shutout innings, gave up one hit on 97 pitches, and the D-backs lost the game. They didn't score a run for him. Justin Verlander went 7 innings, no runs given up. The D-backs had the winning run on third base with one out of the ninth inning. Same thing in the 10th inning. Couldn't get it in. And then the Giants score 5 in the top of the 11th inning to win it 5-1. Braves beat the Nationals 9-4 in D.C. The Red Sox beat the A's at Fenway tonight in 10-5-4. Rays beat the Blue Jays 2-1 in Tampa Bay. Brewers beat the Angels 9-2 in Milwaukee. Yankees beat the Twins 10-5 in Minnesota. Royals beat the Mariners 7-5 in Kansas City. The Mariners have a 10-game win streak snapped. And finally, Astros beat the Rangers 5-2 in Houston. And that's a full look at the out-of-town scoreboard on this Wednesday. Stand at the end of tonight. We told you about the Dodgers and the Padres. Dodgers win tonight. They're winning 3-0 right now. Padres stay two games back. Again, they need to finish ahead of the Dodgers to win the division. Don't have the tiebreaker, but they would stay two games back if the Dodgers do hold on to win. Dodgers lose, Padres pick up a game, and they'd be a game back. As far as the wild card picture, here's how it looks at the end of tonight, and it just seems like with each passing day, it's getting more and more likely, unless the Padres find a way to win this division, they're going to go to Wrigley Field in Chicago for a wild card series. Cubs sitting in the first wild card spot. Padres are 5 games back of the Cubs in the second spot. Padres are 5 games up on the Mets for the second wild card spot. Mets are sitting in the final wild card spot. The Diamondbacks remain a game and a half out. The Reds 2 out. The Giants 2 out. So there are still 3 teams very much knocking on the door of the New York Mets, which makes tomorrow's game for both teams, but especially just from a making the playoffs standpoint, tomorrow's game, it is a big game for the Mets. Every game they play right now is huge. And again, the Padres with their win tonight, the Diamondbacks losing, their magic number to clinch a postseason berth is down to 4. So as long as the Padres take care of their own business, there's a very, very real chance that they could clinch a postseason spot and perhaps have a little celebration at some point this weekend in Chicago. So we will certainly be keeping an eye on that. Final score here tonight, Padres 7 and the Mets 4. Let's hear tonight's play of the game.
The line between winning and losing can be razor thin. Which play was the difference between victory and defeat? This is today's play of the game, presented by Bill Howe Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
Peterson delivers. Manny swings, sends it in the air to left field. Nimmo's backing up. He is watching. It's going to go! A grand slam for Manny Machado. Home run number 26 is a big one in the Big Apple. And the Pods go back ahead at 6-2.
Manny Machado is 14th career Grand Slam. The play of the game, no doubt about it, gave the Padres a 6-2 lead. Manny Machado continues to be the active leader in career Grand Slams, his 14th, and a big, big swing off David Peterson gave the Padres a 6-2 lead, and they go on to win it by a final of 7-4. Taking a look ahead to tomorrow, we have little Padres and pancakes for you tomorrow. First pitch tomorrow at 10:10 a.m. Pacific time here in San Diego. Our pregame coverage will begin at 9:10. Right-hander Randy Vasquez on the mound for the Padres tomorrow, and rookie right-hander Jonah Tong, who had a really rough outing his last time out, he will take the mound for the New York Mets in the rubber game of this three-game series. As always, if you want to go back and listen to any portion of our post-game coverage, you can do so on the Inside San Diego Baseball Podcast, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. You can also go watch any portion of our post-game coverage on the 97.3 The Fan YouTube channel. Taking a look at the final totals here tonight for the Padres, 7 runs, 12 hits, no errors, they left on 9. For the Mets, 4 runs, 9 hits, no errors, they left on 7. Winning pitcher today, Adrian Morahone, who improves to 12-5. Losing pitcher, David Peterson, who drops to 9-6. And the save goes to Robert Suarez, his 39th save of this season. Time of game tonight in New York, 3 hours and 9 minutes, and the crowd at Citi Field in Queens, 41,783. Once again, first pitch tomorrow at 10:10 a.m. here in San Diego. Our pregame coverage begins at 9:10. Until then, for our great studio coordinator, Kyle Ovenshire, I'm Sam Levitt, saying so long and good night from inside our San Diego studios. Again, the final score tonight, the San Diego Padres 7 and the New York Mets 4. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning right here on the Padres Radio Network. Have a great night, everybody.